Why would God bind in everlasting chains in Tartarus those specific angels in Genesis chapter 6? Why? Why just that specific group?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and welcome to the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's teaching today in the Epistle of 1 Peter, and is continuing with the message, The Prison for Spirits. Let's listen in.
Amen. This morning, if you want proof, just one proof that the Bible is absolutely true, you're going to have to remember this, that Peter, what was Peter? He was a fisherman. Did he have a PhD? Did he have a doctor of divinity? No, he traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years. He's endued with power from on high, and God is using him to do great things. Amen? So with Peter the fisherman, he just penned those verses that I read to you. They are considered the most difficult verses, not only in 1 Peter, but the entire Bible to interpret. They're very, very difficult. Matter of fact, there are over 90 different interpretations of what I'm about to teach. And not only that, even Martin Luther himself, the father of the Great Reformation, he said these verses are so difficult, he doesn't have a clue what Peter was even talking about, okay? So this morning, you need to remember that you should really listen. And I open up this morning with really fear and trembling, because I'm going to do my best on these verses that are so many expositors, incredible theologians and Greek scholars. There's a tremendous division. It's all in love, but it's just a lot of division here. Oh, what is Peter really saying? I'm going to teach this morning and do my absolute best, as I have always done, to prove what I am trying to say or what Peter's trying to say, and I'm going to try to prove it by the Word of God. Amen? Now, if there's ever been a morning when you might see me struggle, really struggle, it might be today. But that's okay, amen? Because other people struggle over this same text. So as we look at this, we're going to start off in verse 18. And 18, in that precious verse, which at least that's partly is easy to understand for us, we're going to look at 5 divine facts about the death and the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay? So remember back in verse 17, verse 18 starts with 4, so that takes us back to verse 17 about those who suffer unjustly for doing good. Now, remember the theme of Peter. It's so important that we remember in context here, they were suffering, amen? But they weren't suffering because they were living in sin. They were suffering because they were living for Christ Jesus, amen? And they were being persecuted. And of course, the Neronian persecution had already begun. So they were being martyred, if you will. Now, so with all of that being said, beginning in verse 18, we're going to talk this morning about the prison for spirits, okay? It says, for Christ, meaning Jesus the Messiah, himself our Lord, also suffered how many times for sin? Once. So the first of the 5 points is this. Jesus suffered. Jesus died. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men. You know what they did to him. It was their hour of darkness, and it was also the power of darkness as they arrested him and led him away to be crucified. Now, Jesus died, we all know, on the cross for our sins. Amen? Amen. Behold, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. 1 John 3:5, and we know that he was manifested, he was made visible, he came to this planet to take away our sins. What's a beautiful word, to take away our sins? That means they're gone. But he, of course, had no sin. So here it says, we learned in 1 Peter 2:24, it's about Jesus, how he paid our sin debt. Our sin debt, but the world's sin debt, who himself, it says, bore or carried away our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having, past tense, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Healed of what? healed of our sin. Our salvation is secure, amen, because of what Jesus did. So let's look at the second point here. It says that Jesus, he suffered his, and so forth, for once for sins, meaning this once suffering, his death, is sufficient for all mankind for all time. It says in Hebrews 10:12, for this man, after he'd offered for one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. So our salvation is secure. It's complete. Look at the next one here. That the just for the unjust. Jesus died and suffered for you and me. We call that the great exchange. Amen? Jesus took our place. He's our substitute. So the righteous one suffered and died for the unrighteous one. The innocent one died for the people that were not innocent, if you will, all the guilty ones. And what's so wonderful that when we trusted in Christ and what Jesus did, all of our sin, every bit of it, was transferred to him on the cross. Amen? And then all of his perfect acceptance before God the Father and his righteousness was transferred to us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at number four, that he might bring us, or literally that he might lead us to God. So his death, his suffering was meant to bring you and I into the presence of God. We have access to God without condemnation or fear now, amen? We can come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:18, it says, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit, continual access actually, by one Spirit to God the Father. Father, what a beautiful word. The one who chose you in Christ before time began, amen? He is our Father. And look at the fifth point, who being put to death, meaning on the cross, in the flesh. Now we're getting ready to enter into a major issues from here on out, okay? We have all of this down. I mean, we understand that Jesus, he went to the cross. Did Jesus die on the cross? Did his physical body die on the cross? Yes. Was he laid in a tomb? Absolutely. Was Jesus a human being? Yes, John 1:14, the Word became flesh, human, and dwelt among us. He is the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, if you will. And he died, and when he died on the cross, according to the Scriptures, he was put in a tomb, amen? And it says, according to the Scriptures, it says in Corinthians, that on the first day he's going to rise from the dead, second day he's going to rise from the dead. On the third day, he's going to rise from the dead. Get ready to mark your Bibles or make mental notes. Therefore, being put to death in his body, in his flesh, but made alive by what? How many people, no matter what version of the Bible you may have this morning, how many people, if you look at your Bible, your Bible app, whatever you use, where it says Spirit, it's a capital S. Does everybody agree? Well, that's wrong. Now begins the problems. Okay? Now, the translators of the, like the Authorized Version and other, they took liberty of their own volition to, by the Spirit, making it a capital S instead of a small s, but they had absolutely no textual basis for doing so because there is no article in the Greek there that points to making it the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So Peter, now you may differ with me, and there are great theologians who do. I'm teaching you what I hold this morning. Does that make sense? And I'm proving what I say. I'm not just making that up. Okay, now, with all of that being said, what is Peter doing? Peter is giving a contrast, if you will, between what happened to Jesus in his body and what happened to Jesus in his spirit. Now, Jesus' body was dead, okay? He died on the cross, loved one, but was his spirit dead? No, his spirit was still alive. So that's what that's saying right here. Yes, was Jesus raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Romans 8:11, Romans 1:4, all of that teaches that, and we know that. And we know that the Holy Spirit raised him on the third day. But Peter is not talking about that truth there, about the resurrection. He's talking about Jesus died on the cross. There's his body, okay? He's dead. And then now his spirit, where did his spirit go? And what happened for 3 days? And that's what he's saying here, right here. So he was, when it says made alive by the Spirit, it can't mean that the resurrection, because the resurrection has to do with the body, always with the body. We're talking about the Lord's eternal divine spirit, okay? Now, you say, well, Bill, can you prove that? Let me give you a scripture. Luke 23:46. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. The body without the spirit is dead. That's what James tells us. So from noon to 3 p.m. on the cross, the darkness that came, you know all about that. Jesus, on that cross, he was bearing mankind's sin. Jesus became our substitute. Everything that we were supposed to feel, he felt for you and for me. He was treated as if he had sinned all the sin of mankind by God, yet he had never sinned. Amen? He was our sacrifice. Now, when Jesus had undergone the full judgment for sin, mankind's sin, that is when Jesus, remember what he cried out from the cross? He said, it is finished, okay? Meaning that he then, it's finished, Father, and now his spirit was released from his body. So far, does that make sense? Okay, now, how about Mark 15:34? Let me read it to you. Now, at the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. on the cross, okay? That's here we have the last sacrifice that has saved us. At the 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Why have you separated yourself from me? Why have you left me destitute? Did you know that Jesus never, never called God, my God, my God? Only there. He always says, Father. Why did Jesus say, my God? Because that is the cry that we would have made. Yes, that's the cry of an orphan. I sinned. Oh, God, you have forsaken me. Why? I'm paying for my sin, and I'm not in Christ. He died the sinner's death, yet he was without sin. Okay, now, very carefully. Jesus died for me, but Jesus also died as me. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Amen? Okay, now, listen carefully. Did Jesus taste spiritual death for all of us? Yes. What does it tell us? That Jesus tasted death, whatever death is, meaning he experienced the full depth of death for everyone, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. And he destroyed him who had the power over death, verse 14 of Hebrews 2, which is the devil. Amen? Okay, now, with all of that being said, how does a person become separated from God? Well, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is that separation from God. That's not physical death, that's eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, question, these are hard things that you have to really think through. Did Jesus on the cross there when he died, did Jesus experience spiritual death? Yes, he did. Well, what I mean is, when I say spiritual death, not cessation, he didn't cease to exist, but for the first time, fellowship with God the Father was broken. Okay, his spirit is still alive, loved one, but for the first time, all of a sudden, God said, see, Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? That's a powerful word. Listen, spiritual death is not annihilation. Our spirit, this all spirit, are eternal, amen? They are forever and ever and ever. So that's very important. So here it comes. Something happened after Jesus' death on the cross, but before his bodily resurrection when he walked out of the tomb. Now, we know that he was there for 3 days. Amen? 3 days, 3 nights, okay? 3 days later. So look at verse 19. It says, by whom, meaning Jesus, his spirit, also, what did he do? He went and he did something. He preached to the what? To the spirits in prison. Now, if you do a good Greek word study, the word went means a person who is traveling. It also means one who has now gone on a journey. So Jesus is on a journey. His human body, remember, here Jesus is on the cross. Here's the empty tomb. There's 3 days in here. Jesus' body, after the crucifixion, laid in Joseph's tomb, right? It was placed in Joseph's tomb of Arimathea for 3 days. Now, where did the spirit then, not the body, where did the spirit of Jesus go? Now, I want to prove again, I'm going to do my best to always prove what I'm saying. So in Jesus' own words, he's going to tell us where he went. Remember when the Pharisees asked for a sign? Jesus told them in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In Jesus, again, in his own words, Luke 23:42, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he said to him, the thief on the cross, remember what he said? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, today, Jesus is on the cross. The thief is on the cross. Today, he looked at him, meaning today, as soon as we pass from life into death, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, let's ask two questions from what Jesus told us where he would be. Number one, what or where is paradise, and where is the heart of the earth? Now, Jesus, in his own words, okay, if you care to, why don't you turn with me? Just hold your place and turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus in his own words. Now listen, people say that the rich man and Lazarus here is a parable. It's not a parable because Jesus in his parables never used a person's name, and he would never give a name if it wasn't true. Amen? Okay, so these are real events and real people. And so let me just read it to you quickly. There was a certain rich man, Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he had it going for him, okay? But there was a certain beggar, Lazarus, named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died. And what happened? The beggar died. The one had nothing. The one who needed things and needed everything, and the other one who didn't need a thing. It says he was carried. Well, this is a pallbearer, so I love this. He says he was what? Let me see that word. Yeah. He was, let me find it again. Oh, where is it? There it is. The beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's what? Bosom. The rich man also died, but he was buried. The poor man, you know what they did with bodies back then of the poor? They threw him down the valley of Hinnom. You know, they burned him. And it says, and being in torments, where? In Hades. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, oh, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, son, remember. Everyone say remember. That's a dangerous word. He's in Hades. And he says, now remember. In Hades, you do not have the power to forget everything about your life. He said, I'm tormented. Abraham said, oh, listen, he said, in your lifetime, he said, remember your lifetime, you received good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, you're tormented. And besides all this, here it is, between us, there's a great gulf fixed, a great gulf fixed, a gorge that separated, let's say, Hades and paradise, okay? So a great gulf that's fixed so that you could not pass from here, cannot, or those who want to do it, they can't. Now, then he said, oh, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send to my father's house. I have 5 brothers. They may testify to them that they may come to this place. I don't want them to come here. And Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, well, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And Jesus did rise from the dead. Amen? That is a very serious story. Not a parable, but a story. Now, loved one, listen to me. What did he just say? There's no second chances. Amen? After death. Now, he says there again, let me read it, there is a great gulf, that gorge that separated this compartment from that compartment. So here is paradise, Abraham's bosom, and here is the place of the wicked dead or the unbelieving dead, okay? Hades. Now, the rich man's spirit is still alive, isn't it? Man, it's in Hades even this minute. Did you know that? Even right now. No person, no one is in what we call Gehenna or eternal hell. When an unbeliever dies, they go to a place called Hades, okay? The place of the unbelieving dead. It is a temporary holding place of torment until the judgment day, until the resurrection, until they go and stand at the great white throne judgment. Now, it seems, and I'm saying it seems, I have never been to Hades. I don't want to ever go to Hades, okay? It seems that there, that area, Hades, here's a big separation, if you will, a gulf, a chasm. It cannot be crossed. Here's Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. Those are all the saints, the Old Testament saints of the Lord, okay? Over here is Hades, the place of the wicked dead. Now, but it seems that they have three compartments, and I'll talk about that one in a minute. So this gulf, of course, separated believers from unbelievers. Today, when a believer dies, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to heaven. Amen? Okay, are y'all with me? Okay, now, so the spirit of Jesus, it seems here, if I understand correctly what I just said, what Jesus himself said, went to Hades. Amen? He didn't go to hell. Now, there are a lot of people teach that he went to hell. He didn't go to hell. And it says in Acts 2:27, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow the Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus visited Hades. Hades is not hell, okay? Hell is in Revelation 20. It's the end. Now, so far, just so far now, again, this is different teaching on a Sunday morning, but just bear with me. So far, we know where Jesus went, okay? He went to Hades. Now, it says, by whom he also went and preached to the spirit in prison. Now, what did he preach? Who are the spirits? And what is the prison? Okay, very important questions. So what did Jesus preach in Hades? Are you ready for me to tell you? Peter didn't tell us. I mean, he didn't. So I'm okay, Peter, okay. So what did he preach? Now, this is when we can get in trouble. But I know that I can say that Jesus, when he went there, he did not preach a sermon on redemption. Did you know some people teach that today? The Bible is very clear. Loved one, after death, there is no such thing as a second chance to repent. We just proved it from Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews, 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die and then cometh the judgment. So, the Bible is very clear. So the doctrine that is taught today, but the doctrine of second chances is false teaching. When you die, it's done, okay? And also from this passage, you have the unbiblical doctrines, and they're even with us today. One is purgatory, and the other one is the doctrine of universalism, which that doctrine teaches that no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, every person is going to be saved. That's not true, loved one. So those false doctrines came out of that. So what did Jesus preach? Okay, y'all ready for this? He didn't. Now listen very carefully. The word preach in Greek is caruso, okay? The word caruso in Greek means this, to make, like a herald would make a proclamation or make some kind of public announcement.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again, amen? And as always, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails today. We pray the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.